Live from New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Welcome you to this program. Today, the latest on health and healing. A good night's sleep can reduce which disease? Big time. I'll share that with you. The ancients, including ancient Egyptians, had scrolls that documented how they used herbs in what we would call holistic medicine today, and it extended people's lives and cured disease. S.W. Wells Natural News will give you the latest on that, including honey. The health benefits of sesame oil. That's important. So we have a lot to share. Then in the second part of our program, I'm going to address Fox's radio, Mark Levin. He made a statement that I was listening to the other night. I wanted to see how he and others like Michael Savage would handle the disruptions around the world. And of course, they were very, very disparaging of any movement that showed what our long-term policies have created in their countries. But he also mentioned how, you know, we really should have supported the Shah of Iran and Mubarak. These were our friends. These were good people. And these countries aren't ready for democracy, and they shouldn't have democracy. Okay? That's his point of view. He has a right to it. Today, we will show you why the Shah of Iran was a homicidal maniac, a completely pure evil person. He was a dictator, a despot, but he was our despot, and he achieved our agenda, Washington's agenda. We'll show you why the people are angry. Professor Omid Safi. He is rapidly becoming one of the most important postmodern Islamic thinkers in America today. From Iranian heritage, he is a professor of Islamic studies, University of North Carolina, specializing in Islamic social and intellectual history and Sufi mysticism. So we're going to talk with him to get his perspective. He also sits on the Pluralism Project at Harvard University and also received his doctorate at Duke University. He is the chair for study of Islam at the American Academy of Religion. Let's begin. A lot to share today. We'd like to think that only what we create now through pharmaceuticals has any chance of working on diseases. Well, the trouble is, 88% of all medicine not only does not work at reversing disease or preventing them, it's dangerous, unproven. It's quackery. 12% does work and does save lives, like emergency medicine. If you're in an accident, you benefit from our emergency care, like microsurgery, trauma management, if you have a heart attack or a stroke. So how did people in ancient times live such long lives? Here's what we know. The archaeologists have found medical documents, scrolls, including the Ebers Papyrus, the Edwin Smith Papyrus, the Hearst Papyrus, and the London Medical Papyrus. Those are the earliest known documents concerning tumors, for example. And one of them alone, in the Ebers Papyrus, is 110-page scrolls, which is about 20 meters long. They wrote a lot. What they use, for example, they use raw garlic and onions, because it allowed them to feel better, heal asthma, have more endurance, and clear up bronchial and pulmonary conditions. They used to ferment a lot of their herbs and seasonings in wine, and then would drink them down. These were free of pesticides and all the fluoridated water. They also were big with myrrh, frankincense, fennel, cassia, thyme, juniper, and even aloe. And fresh garlic cloves would be made into a poultice and then it would be blended with vinegar and water. And then they would ask people to rinse their mouth out, and that helped with toothaches and sore throat. Well, today we know why. Because today our good science has shown that by rinsing with garlic, you're killing bacteria in the mouth, on the teeth, and in the throat, including staph and strep. They also really revered honey. Now, honey would have been cold pressed, meaning it was not heated, uncontaminated. In fact, the Egyptian dynasty, which was the first Egyptian dynasty, actually was officially recognized for its healing. They had what was called the sealer of the honey. And in one of their centuries, they would have beekeepers who were protected. They would put the honey into jars because honey was to be sealed and kept for ointments. It was used in almost everything. In fact, beekeeping in Lower Egypt was so extensive that they actually had royal archers to protect the beehives around the temple. The temples were actually homes for the bees in order to satisfy the gods. Canaan was called the land of milk and honey in Hebrew tradition. So Egyptian medicine is quite simply some of the oldest ever documented. From the 33rd century B.C. until about the 525th century B.C., Egyptian medicine was practiced pretty much the same. So what did they do for different conditions? Well, and then see how this ties in with what we're doing today. And you ask yourself, well, boy, they were ahead. Aloe vera was used to alleviate burns and ulcers and skin disease and allergies. We do the same. Basil was used for heart medicine. Indeed, it is. And then what is called balsam apple, which is the apple of Jerusalem, was used as a laxative. Well, we know that apple skins are a terrific laxative, and it also helps stimulate liver function. Bayberry was used for ulcers, hemorrhoids, and diarrhea. Caraway soothed digestion and was a breath freshener. Then we also had dill was a laxative and diuretic. Fenugreek was for anyone with breathing problems and also stomach problems. Frankincense was used for throat and larynx infections to stop bleeding and vomiting. And garlic was given to the Hebrew slaves daily in the idea that it was giving them vitality and strength for building the pyramids. Licorice was used as a mild laxative, and it helped get phlegm out of the throat and chest. Onion was taken to prevent colds, and parsley as a diuretic if you had swelling, edema. Thyme was a pain reliever. Turmeric for open wounds. Poppy was used to relieve insomnia and deaden pain. Coriander was taken for urinary complaints, including cystitis. And pomegranate root was strained with water and drunk to address tapeworms. And that's just some of what they used. They also used Persian henna against hair loss. So as advanced as we are today, they lived long and healthy lives as well. There's a lot of benefit in the sesame seed, especially if you use the raw halva, or if you use tahini, the raw tahini. The raw organic tahini is terrific. It's rich in the omega-6 fatty acids and the flavonoid phenolic antioxidants. It's just good all the way around, and it has a lot of ability to help with diabetics, conditions, and rheumatoid arthritis. And in fact, it's rich in copper, and copper plays a role in the movement of cross-linking of collagen that provides strength and elasticity in blood vessels and bones and joints. So it's good on a lot of different levels. Helps bleeding gums, dry throat. So sesame seeds, and raw organic sesame oil. We are having an awful lot of cancer-related pregnancies. And here's the latest. There have been a 70% increase in cancers diagnosed during or soon after pregnancy. That's a lot of people. And why? Breast cancer, thyroid cancer. This was published in the International Journal of Obstetrics and Gynecology. They don't explain why, but I believe that it's relatively straightforward. An awful lot of women today have been on high-protein diets, which is an animal-based diet, lots of dairy. The dairy today is not the healthy dairy we once had, nor is it like an organic farm dairy. The meat today is filled with hormones, and the way it's prepared, generally well done, means that it's extremely unhealthy. In fact, just the way that that you eat meat, you're bringing in heterocyclic amines, and those heterocyclic amines are extremely dangerous. They cause cancer. Also, there's a lot of growth-stimulating hormones in the foods that people are eating. So, in lots of sugar, artificial sweetener, all of those are related to cancer. So, if anything, a woman choosing pregnancy should first spend about a year detoxifying completely and then only go organic and go without meat. Now, frankincense is an ancient herb, and it's been proven now against arthritis. Cardiff University scientists have discovered that frankincense can actually be beneficial at stopping pain in arthritis. It's edible, it's aromatic, has a resin, and it's been used in traditional medicine of Asia for centuries, mainly to aid digestion and heal wounds, to stimulate the endocrine system and destroy germs. Now, frankincense is obtained from trees in the genus Boswellia, and when it's fit for consumption, it colors generally yellow, light orange, and it's a chewy, sticky texture and spicy, slightly carnivorous aroma. And the incense also works as a good mosquito repellent. And due to its pleasant smell, frankincense extract is also added to perfumes and essential oils. Well, Dr. Blaine led a group of scientists at Cardiff University, and they found that that it had really good benefits against pain. So for those of you in pain, frankincense. And finally, getting a good night's sleep is very important. The latest study published in Diabetes Care shows that if you are not getting a good night's sleep, you're far more susceptible to diabetes, and especially teenagers. This is from Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. I'll quote it. Obese teenagers who don't get the proper amount of sleep may have disruptions in insulin secretion and blood sugar, which is your glucose. And their study suggested getting a good night's sleep may stave off the development of type 2 diabetes in these adolescents. Now, why is that important? Because the latest study shows that almost 75% of all students in high school and college do not get a good night's sleep. Why? For a lot of different reasons. They're up on their cell phones, their computer, they're Twittering, they're in social media till late at night, early in the morning. Then they have to get up to go to school, so they haven't gotten their deep rhythmic sleep. Their deep sleep is where you really heal, and that's where your melatonin is secreted from the pineal gland. As a result, their immune system takes a hit, and their hormones are disrupted, hence more susceptible to metabolic syndrome and diabetes. We also have an epidemic of obesity in teenagers in the United States. So if you're overweight and you're not getting good night's sleep, you're at a double negative as far as getting diabetes, all because of overweight, not enough sleep makes us very susceptible. I'm Gary Nall. Nice to have you with us today. We're here to talk about the issues that make a difference in our lives. Now, I'm going to share a few more thoughts from our issues, and then we're going to go to our guest in a few moments here. This is from AlterNet, and it's about what you need to know about a worldwide corporate grab of enormous proportions. As international trade negotiations go on, and they're going on in secret, it's all for what is called the Trans-Pacific Partnership, TPP. Now, they try to give you the image that this TPP is necessary, it's going to help everyone. It isn't. The reality, this is a high-stakes global corporate pact, now in its 14th round of discussions. They guarded their conference with paramilitary teams with machine guns and helicopters. Everything's behind closed doors. And so you're going to ask, well, what in the world is TPP? And while it's among the largest and potentially most important free trade agreements the world has ever seen, I consider it NAFTA on steroids. The corporate cabal behind it, including Cargill, Pfizer, Nike, Walmart, has done an exceptional job of maintaining an almost total lack of transparency as they literally design the future that all of us will inhabit. 600 corporate lobbyists have been granted access and input on the draft text from the beginning. Even high-ranking members of Congress have been denied access to the most basic content of what U.S. negotiators are proposing in our names. Thankfully, draft texts of the proposal have appeared on WikiLeaks and the website of Citizens Trade Campaign, and it's difficult for me to overstate the potential implications on the lives of people in our WPFW audience and everyone else around the world if anything like the agreement in these leaked documents could be implemented with force of law. The TPP is called a trade agreement, but in actuality it's a long-dreamed-of template for implementing a binding system of global corporate governance, as bold as anything the world's wealthiest elite have attempted before. Of the 26 chapters under negotiation, only a few have to do directly with trade. The other chapters enshrine new rights and privileges for corporate America while weakening or eliminating all power for nation states to oppose them. The TPP essentially proposes to establish a parallel system of justice where companies can sue countries in a tribunal of judges composed of unaccountable international trade lawyers with no process for appeal. Now, this wild bastardization of the concept of justice endangers everything from affordable medicines and internet freedom and intellectual property rights to democratically enacted labor laws and environmental protection. It's really, really bad. And that's not even to mention the massive outsourcing of middle-class jobs from the U.S. to countries like Vietnam and others. You literally would see, I'm going to guesstimate, another 10 million American jobs outsourced. All this with full knowledge of this president and his cabinet. Now, this isn't just a bad trade agreement. It's the ultimate wish list for the 1%. Complete worldwide corporate power grab that would impact us all. Last week, in an empty warehouse on the outskirts of downtown Baltimore, a group of activists around the U.S. gathered to plan a spirited, if limited and weak, resistance to TPP. For 3 years, they've been engaging in secret negotiations with these lobbyists and the United States government. It's picking up momentum. NAFTA was the last straw that sent a lot of individuals away from believing that the corporate Democrats had anything except their own empowerment and their agendas. The World Trade Organization's totally corrupt organization negotiates with a mindset of what's good for the corporate interest. TPP is bigger, bolder, and badder than any trade agreement in history. You will have no social justice. You will have no no capacity for activism, nothing, because it does away with all that. So my suggestion is this. Get up to date on the Trans-Pacific Partnership and write your legislator, write the White House, and tell them you're opposed to it. How in the world do the people in power think that you're supposed to accept something that was done in complete secrecy against your interest solely by the 700 lobbyists for special interest group like Walmart? And to help you, they've never helped you. They're not your friends. So that's our call to interest today. I'm Gary Knoll. Let's go over and say hello to my guest who is standing by now. He is Professor Omid Safi, and he is here to talk about Mark Levin on Fox the other night, saying how good the Shah of Iran would be if he were still in power, and that we were wrong not to have protected him. And then Michael Savage blathered on for a long time about how ignorant everyone in the Middle East is, and the whole idea is democracy is something that they should not be experiencing. They should be happy with the benevolent despotics and dictators they have. And as Mark Levin said, and at least to his credit, he said it. I wouldn't have thought he would have said it, but his audience is pure raw meat. You know, junkyard bulldogs, they'll eat this up. He said, the only foreign policy that matters is that which benefits the United States. It is irrelevant what's happening anywhere else or how anything we do impacts them. Well, that tells it, doesn't it? Nice to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be with you.
I'm very concerned that the American public are being misled on two issues, and I would like for you to address them, please. The first is, I think the White House, by saying that everyone's angry only because of this film, is in complete denial of our creation of the Mujahideen in the 1980s to make Afghanistan and the Russian occupation their Vietnam. And that we train people in with enormous amounts of money and weapons, and these were some of the most rabid fighters, and a lot of them were in partnership with us in Saudi Arabia. We have supported Wahhabism, the Wahhabi ideology, which serves our interest, and Saudi Arabia's, and the Sunnis, who are part of that, but not the majority. But they are the most militant, and yet we have never once condemned Saudi Arabia nor its efforts in sponsoring terrorism and sponsoring terrorists that work on our behalf. So and also we're not paying any attention to what we did with the invasion of Iraq, with Afghanistan, with Somalia, with not supporting not one single one of the Arab spring rising nations did we support. Not one. Only at the very end, when it was clear that Mubarak had lost power, did we suggest he leave. But until that moment, we were giving him military support, intelligence support, as if all the people who were involved in any of these demonstrations and freedom movements were illiterate. So when we kill over 1,000 innocent civilians at wedding parties, at funerals, in shopping, people walking down the street, we kill them, there is no mention of our responsibility, no condemnation. They just happen to be collateral damage. We have 4 people die, which is unfortunate, and that was wrong. That becomes the only issue that's important, that we should seek vengeance. And they could not possibly be angry at us because instead of withdrawing military bases and stopping the drones around the world, Obama has doubled down on it. So nothing that we have done is considered important, just this stupid film. That's one thing I'd like for you to address. On the other side of that are those who believe that because in Egypt, the Muslim Brotherhood has a substantial amount of power, and that goes against what many of the young and educated Egyptians fought for, that therefore that whole movement was wasted, and we might be much better off with a dictator. And specifically, Mark Levin was praising the Shah of Iran. And I'm thinking, surely his audience has some people who understand history and know about his secret police, know about him being a puppet, know about our overthrowing Moshedek and his democratically elected government. We should know this, but clearly we don't. So would you set us straight on all these points, please?
I'm happy to give it a shot. We should know these, but we don't, partially because we suffer from such an atrocious level of historical amnesia in this country.
The real issue that we have is that many of us have never been taught the actual history, not only of the Middle East and South Asia and global history, but also the real political history of the United States. So in the short amount of time that I have, here are some of the things that I would say. And look, as far as, you know, Mr. Levine and other neocons and warmongers out there, I think what it really comes down to is that it's not only that they're unfortunately ignorant of Iranian history and Egyptian history. I just really question which America it is that they belong to and they wish to belong to. And here's what it comes down to. What do we stand for and what do we wish to stand for? If people tell you that what we stand for is democracy and the promotion of human rights, then so be it, and advocate that around the world at a consistent level. And if whenever a country, a dictator, a president, a prime minister, a ruler, a political party violates that, then stand up to it. I think the majority of people in the world want nothing other from the United States than to show the moral consistency that a global leader should demonstrate. Unfortunately, we have singularly failed in this area. We befriend dictator after dictator because we foolishly believe that it brings us a kind of stable ally. And we threw our weight behind the Shah of Iran. We built up what was at the time the fifth largest military in the world. We overthrew in 1953, through the CIA, their democratically elected prime minister, Mohammad Mossadegh, and court-martialed him simply because he had the audacity to proclaim that Iranian oil belongs to Iranians. And we insisted that, no, it belongs to us at an incredible profit for us. So what we did is that we essentially aborted a democratic popular movement in Iran in exchange for support for a monarchical dictator who was one of the worst and most atrocious violators of human rights. People in the United States may not be familiar with the SAVAK that he established, Sazmane Etelaat va Amniyat Kishvar, but this is a Gestapo-style secret shadowy police force that was trained by the Israeli Mossad and by the CIA. And who did it go after? It went after anybody that championed freedom, human rights, journalists, students, religious leaders, anybody that accused of being a socialist, and what have you. Unfortunately, what people like Mr. Levine and the warmongers at Fox and elsewhere refuse to understand is that when the United States champions the cause of dictators who oppress their own people and oppress human rights, then the inevitable popular backlash is associated not only with those dictators, but in return also against the United States. And so we have had essentially a morally blind foreign policy. And if you take a look at the people that we have supported, not only did we support the Shah, not only did we support Mubarak for 30 years, you know, we supported Saddam Hussein. We supported Saddam Hussein, and Rumsfeld went to shake his bloody hand. Why? Because we foolishly thought that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, you know, the enemy of my enemy is not always your friend, and the enemy of your enemy is sometimes a bloodthirsty tyrant who uses chemical weapons on people. When you brought up the example of Saudi Arabia, there's one reason and one reason only that we're friends with the Saudis, and it's one word and it has three letters, and it starts with an O and ends in an L. It's oil. The Saudis, not all of them, but certainly the Wahhabi clerics there, and the extent to which the government sanctions the Wahhabi propaganda, is the single largest global exporter, not only of oil, but also of radically dangerous and exclusive Islamic interpretations that in many ways and in many places around the world, from Africa to Bosnia to the United States, they're seeking to replace and displace indigenous and more pluralistic forms of Islam. Why are we supporting it? Because the Saudis have oil. And as long as they have oil, we're not going to say word one against it. So, you know, unfortunately, what this shows is that, you know, the people who are putting profit before principle, oil before genuine American values, and I speak as someone who has a great deal of admiration for what America can stand for, not what we stand for right now, what we have done is that we've put a price on our commitment to human rights and democracy. And this price is resulting now to us being hated increasingly around the world. And as to, you know, the violent demonstrations that are going on around the world, and, you know, I've always been consistent and written about this, I think Muslims around the world, just like all other human beings, have every right to feel that their religious, their cultural, their civic sensibilities have been violated, they have been trampled upon, and they have the right to express that. Naturally, they don't have the right to express it in a way that leads to murder the way that it did in the case of Ambassador Stevens. And I think that that not only violates international human rights and norms, it also violates Islamic principles. And as I've argued elsewhere, it actually violates the very example of the Prophet. But the problem and what we're refusing to acknowledge is we think that these people are upset about a 14-minute, crappy-produced YouTube trailer. The truth of the matter is that almost none of the people who are demonstrating have actually seen this trailer. In almost all of these places, people are demonstrating because they're responding to local circumstances, and time and again, it's three causes that they bring up. What are they upset about? Ask them, and they will tell you. They are upset about the drone attacks that you mentioned. They are upset about the United States being the country in the world that feels like it's entitled to put military bases in 200 of the countries. No other country on the planet gets to do this. You know, if Americans want to understand why people are so upset, imagine if you woke up one day and there were 50 Chinese bases planted along the coast of America. You probably wouldn't like it then. You might find yourself being resentful of understanding. And yet this is exactly what the United States does. And then the third and the last one has been the ongoing 40-plus year unilateral, one-sided sham that is our support of Israel. And our support of Israel is standing squarely in the way of a genuine, just, and peaceful resolution to the decades-long Palestinian-Israeli travesty. And the combination of those three factors, the drone wars, our militaristic presence around the world, and our unilateral support of Israel, are what lead people around the world to have these feelings of frustration and resentment towards the United States. What I invite people to think about and to really grapple with is, which America do we want to belong to? Do we want to continue to be an empire? And I'm not afraid to use that term, because that is what we are. We are an empire. The British were proud of being the British Empire, and the sun never sets on the British Empire, and all that jazz. We, as Americans, live in this strange situation of living empire, breathing like an empire, militarizing like an empire, occupying like an empire, but in our heart of hearts, we want to continue to believe that we're still that shiny city on the hill, the shiny city of democracy and the beacon of freedom. If you want to be that, then be it, but live like it, and treat your fellow neighbors on this planet according to that. I think that's really what I have to say.
I just have one final question. When the President of the United States, when virtually all of the presidents of the United States visit Israel, not once will they go into Gaza and the West Bank to look at the world's largest apartheid outdoor prison holding over 1,500,000 souls. They will not once sit down with them in their camps to see the conditions they have to live under. Instead, they meet with a warmonger, Netanyahu, this time, and I believe that he's going to commit Israel and the United States to a war with Iran. Why do you feel that the presidents have refused to see the true nature of that? The same presidents, up until apartheid ended in South Africa, refused to go into Soweto and Swoboda and some of the other apartheid encampments in South Africa to see the true condition that they were living under. Instead, they supported corporate America that was doing business with the South African apartheid regime. Why is it our American media doesn't call people out on it? Why don't the American people call their leaders out on it? Why can't we be honest about anything?
Well, you know, I think it's obviously, it's at the same time a very simple and a very complicated situation. It's very simple because I am confident of the fact that no self-respecting American would ever willingly choose to live in the conditions that are imposed on Palestinians. No self-respecting American would ever accept a condition in which they are told, you cannot drive on Highway 95, but people of another ethnicity can. No self-respecting American would ever accept a situation where they're told, you have to go through 20 offensive checkpoints, but people of another ethnic group can just walk on through with a free pass. The situation that exists in Palestine-Israel is one that most Americans don't know about. Palestinians are only treated as terrorists. And we fail to see the living daily reality that they are exposed to. I also believe that part of the complication of the factor is the fact that you have a coalescence of a very large demographic portion of the United States population working hand in hand with a very small but politically influential and powerful lobby groups. What I mean by that is, depending on whose numbers you accept, somewhere between a third and a quarter of all Americans self-identify as being evangelical Christians. And there's nothing wrong with that. But a majoritarian tradition of evangelical Christians in the country today have this blind love affair with Israel. The President Bush, Rumsfeld, Condi Rice, Dick Cheney, you can go right down the list of the Bush cabinet, and they actually come from this kind of an evangelical Christian background. Added to that, and compounding that 80 million Americans who have this one-sided support for Israel, which ironically, they don't get this, leads to the oppression and the suppression of indigenous Palestinian Christians. So think about the absurdity of the situation of Christians being complicit in the eradication of Christianity in the land where Jesus was born. And yet this is, in fact, what we're doing every day and what we're supporting every day to the tune of billions of dollars. Compounding that fact, of course, is the political influence that AIPAC has over Washington politics. AIPAC and their fanatical support of a one-sided, warmongering Israeli politics is one of the few issues in Washington that Democrats and Republicans will line up to support. And so whenever there's the annual AIPAC ASCISING conference convention, you'll get more than half of the Congress showing up for it. And this is really what we have to change. This is what we have to remind people. And, you know, I don't have a hope that any one messianic figure is going to come and redeem our political system. We really are talking about having to start at less than zero. Well, and begin the process of educating the American public. With, in the person of President Obama, we're talking about somebody that when he was just a local congressman from Illinois, he used to go to conventions on behalf of the right of Palestinians to return to their ancestral homeland. We're talking about a person who used to sit next to the Palestinian Edward Said. And then while in office, you see the full machinery of the AIPAC system and the Christian evangelical system, you know, forcing him to take the absurd positions that he has taken. So we can't really hope and expect any one candidate to change the course. I think what we really have to do, and I say this as somebody who is committed to American ideals and American notions, and has a good bit of faith in the goodness, though currently miseducation, of Americans, we have to begin by educating the American public. We have to ask people the question, would you ever willingly choose to live in the situation that Palestinians have to live under?
Professor, we're out of time. You've given us some very insightful answers, and I appreciate that. This audience is certainly receptive to that kind of thinking. And I want to thank you very much for coming on today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me, Gary.
Professor Omid Safi, he is a professor of Islamic Studies, University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill, specializing in Islamic social and intellectual history and Sufi mysticism. And he also is the chair of the study of Islam at the American Academy of Religion. And he's on the Pluralism Project at Harvard University. I'm Gary Knoll. And that concludes this part of our program. However, we're going to begin, for the remainder of the hour, another part. And that is, we're going to ask you to support this wonderful station in its hour of need. And to do that, we are inviting Tiffany, you all know Tiffany, no introduction needed there, to come into this studio in Washington, up PFW, and to tell us what we're going to get today and what this gift is going to. We're asking you for this gift to make a pledge to the station so we can send it right out to you. Hi, Tiffany.
Hi, Gary. Good to be here with you.
Thank you, Tiffany. It's been a couple of years, and I'm glad to be back and glad to have you here in the studio sharing your thoughts with us. What is the premium today?
Oh, we're talking about detoxification, a natural approach, which I was really, really excited about because there are so many things that we put into our bodies that aren't good for us. And this particular DVD gives you the answers.
And how much are we asking people to support the station with?
A pledge of $100, tax-deductible donation.
And let's get that number out.
All right. It's 202-588-9739 or toll-free 1-800-222-9739.
Let me explain why this is such an important film. This is a documentary. Tiffany, when I counsel people, and I've counseled, I'm going to guess, 70,000.
Wow.
I counsel 7 days a week. And now I only counsel terminally ill people, but for a long time, for decades, I counseled anybody who needed help. And I've never charged a penny, by the way. Not a single penny. I counsel everyone for free. In any case, what I found was that everyone, heart disease, cancer, diabetes, fibromyalgia, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, macular degeneration, gout, all of them had something in common. They all had inflammation in the body. They were all toxic. More often than not, they were not only just toxic, but they also had a buildup of heavy metals, mercury, cadmium, aluminum, for example. They also had buildup of the wrong kind of fatty acids in the body, the saturated fats. They had a lot of arachidonic acid from meat. They had a lot of imbalance in their glucose level because of sugars, including fructose, high corn syrup fructose. they had a lot of fried foods, French fries, hot dogs, pizzas, hamburgers, rolls, bagels, potato chips. They had a lot of that. Alcohol, even in moderation, is extremely toxic. For every glass of alcohol that you consume, any kind of bourbon, gin, vodka, you kill over 1 million brain cells, liver cells, kidney cells, and heart cells.
Hmm.
So the damage that I see by the time someone sits across from me is so extensive, yet it didn't happen overnight. It took anywhere from 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And they'll tell you, well, I was healthy until I wasn't. No, you weren't healthy until you weren't. You were a person that started off like Huntington Harford with a fortune and good health, and then you're bankrupt. Only the day that you no longer have a penny to spend, you say, oh my God, I'm broke. And that's what we do. We'll eat, we'll drink, we won't lose weight until a crisis hits. The crisis probably the tipping with a stroke, a heart attack, and then suddenly, oh my God, what just happened? Well, life just happened when you don't pay attention to what you're doing and there's an effect. So I said, how can I help all these people? So what I did was, I produced an award-winning documentary that shows you, first, how do we get toxic? And then secondly, how do we detox? Now, I'm not talking about running out and getting some bentonite clay and having some, you know, green tea with green clay and cleanse the intestine. That's superficial. On a scale of 1 to 100, that's like a 1. I'm talking about getting the heavy metals out with natural chelation therapy you can do yourself, about how you use different herbs, botanicals, and tinctures to stimulate the release of toxins out of the liver, how you can get your glutathione, your single most important nutrient inside your body, for detoxifying and conjugating and eliminating toxins out of the liver, how to stop the destruction of your brain cells, how to rejuvenate. All of this is a part of detoxification. How do you get rid of the bad bacteria in your gut and replace with good? What happens if you have the itises, ileitis, colitis, Crohn's disease, diverticulitis? How do you get that healthy? How do you turn off inflammation? How do you heal? I cover all that. Specific protocols. What's the role of aloe vera? Well, it depends. Are you taking the gel? Are you taking the whole leaf? Because there's a big difference between the whole leaf and the gel. The gel is not going to do the good. The whole leaf will. Most people don't know that. So every single thing you need to know to cleanse and detoxify the body, I share with you. I then went around the country to film some of America's leading holistic medical doctors on how they detoxify their patients, especially patients who have cancer, diabetes, heart disease, and fibromyalgia and arthritis, macular degeneration. Even to the degree that people thought that nothing could come back again, men with their libidos gone, erectile dysfunction, women with their thinning of the skin after menopause, perimenopause, and postmenopause, loss of hormone balance, thinning of the mucous membranes in the vagina, so they couldn't have true intimacy with their partner because they would chafe and burn and bleed and become infected, people who lost muscle tone. All of these can be impacted in a positive way when you detoxify. Detoxification is like taking the boulder out of Sisyphus's hands so he doesn't keep rolling it up the hill halfway each day and rolling it back down. You're no longer carrying that toxicity, so the body has a chance to heal. So, for everyone in this audience, if you have pain and fatigue, if you have bloating and gas, if you have mucus in your throat or nose when you wake up in the morning, if you have pains in your joints or muscles, if you have high blood pressure, then you definitely need to detoxify. No question about it. Now, this is the most comprehensive detoxification program ever filmed that I'm aware of, ever. And it's a major film, and it's exclusive. You can't go out in any store and buy it. It's exclusive to WPFW. So call now. Call 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739, or toll-free 1-800-222-9739, 1-800-222-9739. And for just $100 donation to this station, contribution, as your gift to us, we're giving you this video. And what's really good is that they now at PFW have a system where all of the premiums are outsourced with outstanding customer service and very speedy delivery. So you will be able to get your premium quickly. That's good. You're getting a premium that you wouldn't have had otherwise that can help you. And you should start to see some results if you follow the protocols, really follow them, within about 2 weeks. And one of the first things people tell me is that their energy level starts to really take a beat up. And then they start seeing no more bloating, and their fatigue is overcome, and they're getting a better night's sleep, people sleeping through the night instead of waking up, and diminishment of their pain, and relieving of constipation. All these things happen because our body is toxic. But we never think about that. You should. Our livers are toxic. Our kidneys are toxic. And do you realize that 40% of all adults in America suffer from non-alcoholic fatty liver disease? How is that possible? But those are the statistics, because of the amount of fat and sugars that we put into our diet. So call now. We only have about 7 minutes to go. 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739 or 1-800-222-9739. 1-800-222-9739. If the lines are busy, please be patient, because they'll get to you, because we want to be able to help everybody. So we'd like to have you call right now. Tiffany, over to you.
All right, yes. So again, the number is 202-588-9739 or toll free 1-800-222-9739 for a tax-deductible donation of $100. You can get Gary Null's Detoxification, A Natural Approach. It is a two-hour presentation. You'll learn the natural, user-friendly, non-toxic therapies, from juicing to herbs, from healing tonics to colonics. It's the complete guide to purifying your body, and it can be part of your collection for a tax-deductible donation of $100. And we want to say thank you to an anonymous caller. Thank you, Anonymous, who actually just wants to support your program, Gary. And we thank you so much for that. Put it on a credit card. We appreciate that even more. You can, too. The number to call is 202-588-9739 or toll-free 1-800-222-9739.
Please keep in mind that the station is going through some changes, very positive changes. There's a new program director. There's a new station manager. And what's very important for me is there's a whole new energy of commitment to making PFW relevant again, as it once was in its heyday. And like a lot of things that we take for granted, one day we forget that it's time for a spring cleaning. It's time for a renewal, rejuvenation. So PFW is going through its rejuvenation right now to come up in this moment as a better station, relevant station, and most importantly, reaching out to people. Now, since we do not have an advertising budget at all, it's dependent upon you. Please tell a friend or two that you're listening to PFW. Select your favorite three programs and say, hey, you know, you can download these shows on PFW. You can listen, you go to the archives, but give them a chance. You know, PFW has been around a long time, and it's well situated on the dial, and it has a strong signal. But like a lot of the social movements, there's so many other choices people have today that if you're not constantly aware, the audience erodes, and we have that erosion. I'm coming back. I'm back. This is just the beginning of my second week. It's just my sixth day on the air here. And we're starting with a very small audience, and that's fine. I started back on BAI after being off for 5 years, and the audience was down to 400. This one's less. It's under 200. So we're starting with nothing. But that's all right, because for every one of you who are out there, you hear every day, we take on the issues. We give you the best on health and nutrition, all backed by peer-reviewed literature. We give you interesting guests. We give you social issues. We give you empowerment. This is an empowerment hour. This station is becoming an empowerment station. I see only good coming. By the way, on BAI, we brought 40,000 new audience back in just, in 2 weeks, it'll be 2 years, 40,000 more. And
wow.
$1,900,000 in contributions from this, my program alone. So I'm counting, and I told the station manager today, I says, please be patient. Everyone has to be patient because we're just back. It's going to take word of mouth. But if we spread the word through mouth, because we don't have an advertising budget, I said I would take ads out on the side of buses if it was reasonable out of my own pocket just to promote the station. Even ads, full-page ads in some newspaper down there, if it helps the station. And they're going to get back to me and tell me what it's going to cost to do that. But we have to commit ourselves. I'm committing my time. I'm not paid for this. I've 35 years on Pacifica every day. I've never been paid a penny. I'm here because I believe in its message. So in the last 3 minutes here, join all of us at PFW. Join us in our new movement of becoming the most important voice non-commercial radio has in the Washington Triplex area to bring you progressive minds, progressive music, progressive thought. Give a call now and support the station, please. It's today we're offering you, and by the way, each day we're trying to give you a different premium. So today's premium is Detoxification, a long award-winning documentary on what happens when you are toxic, what are these toxins, how do they manifest in the body, and most importantly, what can I do to detoxify? So it's all there for you. Everything is easy to do and easy to understand, but all you have to do is call and get it. 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739, or 1-800-222-9739, 1-800-222-9739. And if they can't hear this program between 3 and 4, let them go to WPFW's archives and download the show.
There you go.
All right? And it's easy to do, and we want people to download it, want people to listen wherever they can. So give a call now. We only have 2 minutes to go. 202-588-9739. 202-588-9739. Tiffany, are there some calls coming in now?
There are indeed, and we want to say thank you to Carolyn out in Kensington, Maryland, renewing support. We want to thank Rosalind, who is out of Greenbelt, Maryland. Thank you so much for renewing your support. Thank you to a new member, Dre. Thank you for joining the WPFW family. And we want to say thank you to Charles Shelton out of Bowie, Maryland, renewing support. And everybody picking up Detoxification, a natural approach. You can, too, by calling 202-588-9739 or toll-free 1-800-222-9739. Any closing thoughts, Gary?
Yes, I just think it's a... On the one hand, it's a trying time for a lot of people, especially if you're sensitive to social issues and the human condition. But understand there are a lot of people who are independent thinking. And from those independent thinkers, we have some great progressive ideas. Well, lots being done. My job is to open a door to allow you a chance to meet and listen to and interrelate with so many positive people who are finding solutions to our crisis outside of the typical lobbyist, corporate, political agenda in Washington, D.C. that seems only to help themselves. So please tune in every day, Monday to Friday, 3 to 4. And I want to thank the management of PFW for allowing us to do our program and keep the funding, the pledging to the end of the program. That's very thoughtful of them. They're doing everything they can. Please support the management. Please support the station. It needs your support, and it deserves your support. What would this town be and this whole area without a PFW? And especially we're getting ourselves really, really realigned with all the needs of the people. So call now, final call, 202-588-9739, 202-588-9739, or 1-800-222-9739, and get the award-winning documentary, Detoxification, A Natural Approach. Thank you, Tiffany. I want to thank everyone who's listening, and also thank Luke, our engineer. Have a nice day, everyone.
Thank you, Gary.